look at me. I am the captain now.
She held events at one of the restaurants that was named in the fraud case and had a former staffer who was convicted in the fraud investigation. So a lot of people are, wow, there's a lot of potential links here. How much did she know about that?
Why do you think this fraud was allowed to get so widespread?
This also has an impact on Somalis because we are also taxpayers in Minnesota.
Somalians contribute less than $900 a person to local and state taxes combined. I'm sure you understand that is incredibly low. That's actually lower than I thought it would be.
Now the investigators have come back. They've got convictions on $2 billion in stolen stuff through three scams. Now it's up to $8 billion they've discovered just since they really started focusing on it last week.
But, you know, when you come to this country, you got to learn which side of the road to drive on. You got to learn to stop at stop signs. And you got to learn not to defraud the American people.
It's not just the Somali diaspora that has come over here and decided to engage in this criminal behavior. It's a industrial complex with the Democratic Party that enables and turns a blind eye to this behavior because they benefit from it through political support.
A lot of Somalis in my district feel like there's not enough community resources, there's not enough available for them because they're working class folks and came here refugee status and fighting poverty.
There's a reason Minnesota ranks as the top. Lowest childhood poverty, best place for children to live. People are taking advantage of that. They're going to prison. That is totally disconnected with demonizing an entire group of people who came here fleeing civil war and created a vibrant community that makes Minnesota and this country better. But that's Donald Trump. Deflect, demonize, come up with no solutions. He's not going to help fix anything on fraud. My God, there's a big difference between fraud and corruption. And corruption is something he knows about.
Billions of it sent back to terror groups.
Hey! Look at me, sure. Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
You've got 23 child care or daycare centers either closed or under investigation. The fraud may go as high as $100 million. Now think about that. In fiscal year 2018, Minnesota received $120 million in federal funding. The state contributed about $50 million in matching and maintenance funds. And we may have a fraud case of nearly $100 million in this state, with money then being transferred out of the country via MSP Airport.
The children didn't exist. So you mentioned the spreadsheets where they just used a random name generator to make up names of non-existent children to show to the state. We really are feeding all these kids, but the kids didn't exist. The food didn't exist.
The vast majority of those, what is it, over 90%, come from one province that is a special tribe and a mafia. And it's all run by a mafia system.
And you know, a six-word text from Bach to one of her staff members might have been the most stunning. She wrote, "We may have become the mob."
Both Bach and Saeed are charged with wire fraud and bribery connected to a federal pandemic relief program. Prosecutors say nearly $250 million went through Feeding Our Future to sites that falsely claim to serve thousands of meals a day.
So a Somali-American politician here in Maine, Abdullahi Ali, has placed a murder bounty on a journalist for reporting a fraud scandal for millions of dollars involving Maine Care.
If you beef one Somali, you beef every Somali. If there's one thing about Somalis, they are going to ride out for their Somali brothers and sisters. They are going to crash out.
70% of the people coming in the U.S., period, globally, the H-1B visas are from one province, and it's its own mafia that doesn't work with any of the other Indians. That's why once they got control 30 years ago, and they grease Congress's skids, they don't let anybody in but their group. You're letting one clan in.
Three centuries ago, our mothers and fathers followed a promise across the ocean. Somali hands opening a new map, Somali hearts reading the sky. Here, they found a land of rivers and stars. They named it the way the wind whispered, Minnesota.
Minnesota was promised to us Somalis 3,000 years ago. And if you disagree, you're an anti-Kushite bigot.
So the average American, whether they're black or white or whatever, isn't really involved in politics, doesn't donate money, doesn't get engaged. They do. And they're a major game changer. And the average Muslim has six kids. The average person in the West, like 1.5. Two adults, 1.5 kids on average. And they say, I'm having a bunch of kids, putting them all on welfare because I'm taking over. My fellow InfoWarriors, you have until this Sunday, December 14th, 2025 at midnight to get 40% off site-wide. That means all the incredible supplements, Methylene Red, back in stock, Bovine Colostrum, Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force Spike Protein Detox. It's all in stock right now, and it funds the tip of the spear. These are incredible products. Do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Enrich your health, your vitality, your life. They make great gifts, and it gives the gift to all of us of keeping this operation on the air in the face of the globalists. And 40% off is a huge deal with the t-shirts, the ball caps, the hoodies, the sweaters, all the apparel, because there's only about 60% markup in the apparel. So that is one hell of a deal. Please do your Christmas shopping right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. Thank you for being the heart of this operation. Thank you for your support. You have till this Sunday, site-wide, 40% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Dr. Andrew Wakefield for at least 20 years, even before they tried to set him up and destroy him. And he has been a fellow Austinite, you know, now lives outside Austin in Wimberley, beautiful place. If I could, I'd live out there. It's gorgeous. But I can't commute in the hour. And it's got to be twilight zone for you. In fact, I just didn't get to talk to you before you came in. We just talked like a minute before we went live. And I said, what do you want to cover first? You just said how crazy the world is, how things have changed, the Great Awakening. I said, that was my first question. But probably before we get into all the new developments, important to just recap what they did to you. And, you know, you're not a victim, you're an overcomer. And not for me to play victim either, but I have gone through a very similar demonization, large-scale campaign. So we are peers in that, like a Mike Lindell or a Donald Trump. And it's not like we're a whining victim. We have experienced the machinery and being run over by it. So we have a particular perspective to be able to share with people. But the good news is back when you're blowing the whistle and I'm blowing the whistle on things, there weren't many of us so they could really target us. Now there's so many that we're beginning to turn the tide, overwhelm them. So WakefieldMediaGroup.com, now you make films, all the rest of your great work helping autistic children. But you were and still are patient zero, tip of the spear, domino number one in the UK with your patients, discovering this has all been vindicated. Then the fake studies, the lies, all of it totally insane. But first, if you want to go there first, 35,000 foot view. They're trying to impeach Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They've had so many huge successes. It's really amazing. And so he's now the new target. We got to rally behind him. And then just recapping and take your time and what happened to you. And then we'll get into all the new developments in this giant new study that's come out. That's just incredible.
Sure, Alex. Well, who could have believed when we first got together that we'd be here now, how the world would have changed? But my story starts back, I was a mainstream gastroenterologist at a London teaching hospital, had a big research team. Life was good. And then in 1995, I got a call from a mother who said my child was fine. They were normal. They had speech language interaction with their siblings. And then they had a vaccine, and then they disappeared. The lights went out in their eyes, and they were gone. And I believe, I said, why are you calling me? Because I'm a gastroenterologist. I don't know anything about autism at all. Nothing. We weren't taught about it at medical school. It was so rare. And she said, because my child has terrible gastrointestinal problems. And the doctors just say, oh, that's part of autism. Put them in a home, forget about them, have another child, move on. Mm. It was absolutely tragic. And she said, there's an epidemic of this particular problem, regressive autism. And so it was such a coherent and consistent story. I thought, we've got to look into this. We put together a big team of researchers, eminent gastroenterologists. The parents were absolutely right. The experts had said, there's no bowel disease in autism. Kids don't regress. It starts in the womb. It's genetic. No, it wasn't. They were wrong on every single...
Like you said, it was women's intuition.
It was the mother's intuition. And so I looked at this, and people said, look, we can't question vaccine safety. The dean said of the medical school said, this is not going to be good for your career, an overt threat. You know, stop this or else. And I kind of, you know, being a young surgeon at the time, I just thought, no, that made me work twice as hard. And They were right. The parents were right. This is the thing. When they said, my kid has a bowel disease, the medical profession said, that no, they don't, and they do. When they say, my child regressed after a vaccine, you take that very, very seriously. You don't assume in your arrogance as a doctor that you know better. So they came after me, and they did a very effective job at dismantling my career. Now, here's the thing, Alex. Now people are familiar with the cancel culture of the medical profession.
But it was unknown then.
Unknown. It was unheard of.
In fact, you're kind of probably the first in modern time.
Well, it certainly felt like that. There was me, and then there were, you know, the World Health Organization and UNICEF. And
you're in every paper every day, the devil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember walking into Times Square. I came back from giving a lecture in Hong Kong, and I walked into Times Square, and there was that sort of ticker thing going around the Fox News building saying, Dr. Wakefield as a fraud, and I was just... Anyway, this is what they did. They came after me. Rupert Murdoch had his son put on the board of GlaxoSmithKline, Europe's biggest producer of MMR. His job as a non-executive director was to go after me to protect that company's name in the media. He did a very effective job and dismantled my career. They accused me of fraud. They accused me of any number of things. There were 28 pages of charges. And it was staggering. And at the time, it was overwhelming. What do you do about it? How do you take this kind of thing on? Because it's massive. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to stop feeling sorry for myself and work out how best to continue with this work. And I came to America. So I came here as a political and professional exile, set up in Austin, and they came after me here. And eventually, you know what happened, Alex? I had so many people come to me from federal agencies like the CDC, like NIH, drug companies, saying, we have done a terrible thing. We've committed fraud. Here's the evidence. So I became a repository for whistleblowers, and I thought these would make amazing films. These would make great Aaron Brockovich-type movies, you know, The Insider. And so that's what I did. I became a filmmaker.
Well, I'm not a pathologist, but I've unfortunately seen this a few times, where a homeless person walks out in front of an 18-wheeler and gets splattered down the road. I don't need to be a doctor to know when their body is in 10 different pieces over 100 yards, they're dead. And it's the same thing. I can't tell you how many people at a resort or at a grocery store or a church say, you know, they got 3 or 4 kids with them. Oh, here's our son, Billy. He's 4 now. He was running around happy, playing, totally smart till 18 months, third round, had a bunch of convulsions and never talked again. And then has horrible diarrhea and screams and yells all day. But quantifying is brief for people because now it's been vindicated. What were the findings? What are the shots doing? What's it doing in the gut? We know it's connected to the brain. What's happening?
Well, I don't know, Alex. This is the problem. This is a great shame, is that if our work had been allowed to continue without being sabotaged, I would have answers for you now. But I don't. But I know for sure there was a bowel disease. It was unusual. It wasn't like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. It was something different. But it responded to treatment. If we would give them anti-inflammatories or put them on a specific diet, excluding gluten and casein, for example, the kids would improve, not just from the gut, but cognitively. Well, the experts had said, once again, there is no improvement. These children don't get better. The diets have no effect at all. Yes, they do, actually, the parents.
But right now the good news is Kennedy is investigating it. Trump's directed an investigation.
Yeah, now the world has changed.
And now they're scared.
They're terrified. Bobby Kennedy getting in there and exposing this and saying, actually, the safety studies. You say safe and effective, safe and effective.
Look, I know you're a doctor and a scientist. You want to speculate, but there are studies out there. Particularly, it's the MMR, they say, is one of the worst, right, than hepatitis. And we know the brain, the spine, the gut's all connected. So, I mean, do we have any idea? I know you got samples and things, like how it's triggering this inflammation. And obviously, if the gut's inflamed, means the brain's inflamed, right?
Well, that's what what is the mechanism? How is the gut related to the brain? Is it that we're absorbing toxins from a damaged gut? Is it an allergic reaction? Are they being injured independently, but they're both susceptible to a vaccine injury? We don't know. Any number of these...
Well, we know they've been spraying wheat with the glyphosate at the end, so you get a huge intake of that. We know that's toxic. So what I've heard from other scientists is that the cocktail of the shots... And then with the glyphosate and then the Tylenol just pushes it over the edge. Boys have a weaker blood-brain barrier. That's why it mainly affects boys. I think that's kind of the working theory.
Yeah, there are many working theories, and that's one of them. It has as much merit as any other.
Well, that seems to think what Kennedy thinks is what Trump.
That's right. That's right. So what happened? What changed everything, Alex, was that I went to the CDC, had a meeting with them around 2000. I testified before Congress, and They said to me, Dr. Wakefield, look, every child has MMR vaccine, only some develop autism. How do you explain that? I said, well, I don't know. We own, you know, many people smoke, only some develop lung cancer. We don't know the reason for that. But I believe that in part it's related to age of exposure. The younger you get the vaccine, the greater the risk of autism. Why? Because with natural measles, the younger you get it, the greater the risk of a more serious disease if you get it under one. If you get it after one, it's a trivial disease. So they went away and tested that hypothesis. They found it was absolutely true. And they spent the next 14 years destroying the documents, hiding the results, and writing a paper which exonerated the MMR vaccine. 14 years. How many American children were put in harm's way of serious permanent neurological disease during that time?
Well, just in that period, we went like from, what, 56 years ago, it was 1 in 25,000. And by then, it was like 1 in 5, 10,000. I don't remember the numbers. Now it's like 1 in 35 or something?
No, they're 1 in 20. We're talking 1 in 20.
So it's even worse.
Yeah, it's much worse. And so 14 years we waited, but then we made that film Vax. And when Vax got out there exposing fraud at the CDC, the world changed. It started to change. And two things have really changed the whole dynamic of this, Alex. One is movies, films. In the clinic, I can help one child at a time. But you make a movie, you can show that to millions of people at one time.
And now the EU and all of them want to ban films questioning the shots.
Oh, absolutely. And you can see why. And the other thing is COVID. COVID was the biggest mistake they ever made. It exposed the underbelly of the system, the profiteering, the ignorance. And the people are now changing. When I got involved in the beginning, maybe a handful of people worldwide would talk about vaccine safety. Now it's more than half the adult population of the world.
And it's not as people have woken up more. There's way more damaged kids. So yeah, that'll get absolutely. You an army. And we'll take this. I remember right before they released COVID, they had the Vaccine Advisory Board of the UN meet an emergency in Switzerland in November. And we played the clips here. And there's the head lady. I forget her name. She's an Asian woman. She's like, most our doctors don't trust the shots. We don't know what they do. We're giving them by Big Pharma, and we're using people as guinea pigs. This needs to stop. So I believe they went ahead and released it to try to bring their disease X hysteria to say, oh, no, you see, you need us, because their own system, I know, was in open rebellion against. Some of you have seen those clips. And that they had always thought disease X would give them total control, instead it backfired.
Yeah, it backfired. Now, this is where we are now, Alex, and I'll just read you this. This is a paper that came out recently. This is a paper that was written by people who were skeptical about the serious side effects of vaccines initially. People like Peter McCullough, an outstanding cardiologist who's sort of...
Is that the McCullough Foundation
Peter
report?
McCullough Foundation.
You, all right, Shutter.
This ahead. Is the review. All those years ago, what I asked for, Alex, was more research to be done to establish the validity of the parents' claims or not. That's all I
asked. You asked for research. That's you didn't fear investigation.
I asked for... I didn't say vaccines cause autism. I asked for more research to be done. Now that research has been done, a review of 136 papers that purport to look at this issue, the conclusion, I'll read you the conclusion, combination and early-timed routine childhood vaccination constitutes the most significant modifiable risk factor for autism spectrum disorder. In other words, it can be prevented.
This is the signal. Let's be clear, because I've talked to not just McCullough, but other people. This is a very prestigious report. This is of the highest standards. This is huge.
Absolutely. And from people...
So finally, 20 years later, you got what you needed.
Well, this is it. We got it, and there it is. And so they're in a...
And what does it show?
It shows that vaccines are the major cause of this problem, particularly autism. And it's modifiable. You can change it. You can prevent it. This is none of this ever had to happen.
It's interesting. The drugs they talk about are exactly what you talked about 20 years ago that are needed.
Yeah, if only they had done the science properly, if only they hadn't lied and deceived the public, deceived themselves that they were safe and effective and the science had been done. And it took Bobby Kennedy to come forward, a lawyer, and say, show me where it's been done. And they couldn't, because it hasn't.
That's right. In the hearings, they finally admit, we've never done a double-blind study. They just lie and say they have.
Yeah, randomized controlled clinical trials prior to licensure have not been done. We put hepatitis B vaccine into one-day-old infants based upon a five-day safety study. No controls, no appropriate control.
And we've learned in those studies, like the Pfizer later, they hide the deaths, too.
That's right.
And so it's not only...
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And if your child died on day six after the vaccine. It was nothing to do with the vaccine because they designed the study in that way.
It's premeditated. So let me ask you this. There's a lot to get into here. What is Big Pharma going to do now?
Well, here's the dilemma, is that what they're doing is the current vaccines like measles, mumps, and rubella have been around for a long time. They're failing. And what they're doing now is making mRNA-based vaccines for measles, mumps, rubella, and a whole host of other childhood infection. The plan is for the market to be taken over by those existing vaccines. Now, the good thing is the market will always win. Parents now know, and parents are saying no. Parents will demand the safety studies to be done. They will demand the proof because people like you have put it out on their show and exposed the world to the truth. And that's the important thing, is that they can do what they like, but if the market says no, if the parents say, I am not putting this into my child, then they cannot win.
Well, that's like, what was there, like a 2% uptake on the mRNA boosters for COVID?
Yeah, they're failing, and they're failing, and they've only got themselves to blame, Alex. They put themselves in this position. They have only got themselves to blame. It's no good blaming you and me for having this conversation now, or blaming the parents for pinning it on the vaccines. They are at fault.
Did you ever see the Borla clip like 4 years ago? He goes, these are terrorist criminal groups saying this. We've got the CIA and MI6 looking into them.
Yeah, well, come and look.
Yeah, but yeah, and of course, the level of damage, we're doing them a favor. Imagine if they keep going. We're going to have one out of three children brain damaged. I mean, how far do they want to go here?
I know. I mean, the projection is one in two children by, what, 2030, 2032. I don't know whether those numbers...
Well, that's the end of civilization.
Yeah. You either have a child with autism or you're looking after a child. I mean, it's, you know, you have it or you're looking after something.
Well, look, I'm not a vindictive person, but the best way to stop this is to punish people. There's a lot of, maybe we can't get them for the poison shots. We can get them for Ursula von der Leyen lying and taking all these, you know, tens of millions from Pfizer. We need to throw some people in prison. What about, I mean, they need to pay.
Well, you know, one of the tragedies of vaxxed is that there was no accountability. No one was held responsible. We made the movie. It went out there. Those people at the CDC who committed the fraud, right up to the highest level of the CDC, went on getting their pay, went on getting their pensions. No one paid any price apart from the children and their families.
Well, we saw Mangione kill that healthcare executive, which I don't think was good, but denying people care and stuff. He's a hero of the left. I'm not calling for this, but if this keeps going... These vaccine makers and people, you know, Fauci had illegally dozens of federal agents protecting him. Now he doesn't have it. I don't wish any harm upon Fauci, but won't they know once they're exposed and this keeps going on, they won't be safe anywhere on earth?
I think there'll be a number of parents who are just very, very, very angry, particularly if their children have been permanently damaged or killed. And I worry about that. I really do. I think it's a reality. It's the world in which we live. And if people do not get justice through the system, will they seek it in other ways? I don't know, but history tells us that yes, they will.
Well, you're a very classy professional scientist, but we have Bill Gates saying, I want to get rid of most of the population. There's too many, plus I want to have the shot. I mean, there's no way the people running this at the top don't know what they're doing.
No, I think they do. I think that they've known for some time. After the point of knowledge, even if they didn't set out with this agenda, after the point of knowledge, it becomes deliberate because you know what you're doing and it is deliberate. I mean, I did a study on a film I made with Bobby Kennedy Jr. and that was on infertility vaccines in Africa, developed to make women infertile without any informed consent to the women concerned to whom these were being given. A deliberate attempt to sterilize people in the third world. An experiment. It was absolutely disgusting.
Was that the tetanus?
Hmm?
Was that the tetanus?
That was the tetanus vaccine, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there are some bad people out there, and they need to be exposed. But more importantly, we need a large dose of common sense, and we're getting that now from the
White. Well, I mean, let's take common sense. These mad scientists that want to depopulate think they'd get away with this long term? I mean, the point is they need to give up now. Because it's going to get worse for them here on after.
Yeah.
They need to extricate. I'm telling them, run the white flag up.
No, you're absolutely right. If they had any sense at all, I mean, they tend to double down. They're in so deep. But I think we're in the right place now. I do hope, and here's a message for the American people and your audience in particular, that Bobby Kennedy will get a second term to complete what he started. Because the dilemma is that if he doesn't get it done in the first 4 years, and he's making great strides, but
100%, he needs to be the president, yeah, or whoever we elect needs to pledge to bring him back.
He should be back in charge of HHS in 4 years, 3 years' time. Because we are a very reactionary species, Alex, and if they get back in, if the Dems get back in, we will see a huge swing. The pendulum will swing back, and it'll be worse than it was before. So he needs to be able to complete the process that he started.
I totally agree. We've got a lot of time coming up. I've got a lot of new developments I want to get to here with you, but what else are we going to cover coming up?
I'd have to talk about the films that we've got. We got a film from Thailand. We just went out there and shot a COVID film. That'll be coming out early next year.
Have you given us the trailers?
We haven't got a trailer for that yet. It's being cut.
Well, tell us. I've seen the other great films. We need to play some of those trailers coming out. Maybe we should play the original Vax coming in.
Vax was huge. Vax.
I've seen most. You put up like four or five films, right?
Six films.
So, okay. I've seen four of them. So tell us the names of the films.
The first film was Who Killed Alex Bordalakis. All of these, as you pointed out, are available on wakefieldmediagroup.com. So go there for them. Who Killed Alex Bordalakis? That was the first one we ever made. Then we made Vax. Vax was one of the biggest movies of that year, 2016. Then I made a movie called The Act, 1986, The Act. It was about the National Child
Injury
Act when the industry, the vaccine manufacturer.
Ooh, I haven't seen infertility. I missed that.
Yep, the liability protection. That's the film with Bobby Kennedy coming soon.
Okay, that's why I haven't seen it.
Coming soon is, no, that's out. Infertility's out.
Oh, good.
The new film with Bobby.
Tell us about infertility.
Infertility is the one where they took the tetanus vaccine, they spliced.
Oh, you were just mentioning it.
That's right.
Okay, so I know the story. I've never seen the film. Wow, get the trailer for that one. Air that when we come back. See, that's the thing. There's so many, you're out there doing such a great job. And I think people think I know everything. People all the time call and say, why don't you know about this? I didn't even know you made this last film.
Well, the next film I want to make, and this is important, Alex, is that the tide has turned on the vaccine. That issue is going to now be resolved. The majority of people are saying, we don't trust you anymore. So that will, if we continue to work hard, will.
But now comes the genetic therapies.
Well, now the film that I want to make, I have to make before I die, for this community is this. The greatest fear for any parent of an affected child, with a child with autism, is what happens to my child when I become infirm or die. They will fall upon the mercy of a world that doesn't understand them, doesn't care about them, doesn't love them. They will die on the streets. And that is what will happen because the existing systems are not in place.
Or being euthanized by maids.
Yeah. So I wanted to make a film that didn't forget about the children already injured, those who have fallen on the battlefield of man's quest to conquer infectious disease. And so I'll tell you a story, Alex. I hope we've got time.
We got plenty of time. Let's go to break, come back and start with this. Then we'll play the trailer to the infertility film that I didn't even know you had out. Exactly. We need to think about the victims and not just for them, but people can understand the carnage that happens so it doesn't happen again.
Absolutely.
Let's come back and talk about that, and then let's get into the infertility film as well. And we got plenty of time, as long as you want, and you got a lot to cover. We should also get into the study here.
Okay.
Well, here's the good news. Our surrender is over. We've turned the tide. Back when Wakefield first started doing this 25, 30 years ago, he was a lone ranger now. Big different world.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, it cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic Frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our election. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex, things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. And my number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt, which are amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com/Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at thealexjonesstore.com or at MyPillow.com/Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. We only get one shot at this. And like I said, about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground, you know, look what they've destroyed, tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at. And it's because of all of you, because you buy our products. And that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents. You guys, you can get the best Christmas presents ever. The Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. And so you walk on them, and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome, this patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And not 29, not as low as $29.98. And I want to show you one more. You guys go there, and you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com/Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Listen, I'm a guy that loves culture and loves history and loves novels and loves fiction. But I got to tell you, I don't watch a lot of movies other than documentaries. I don't or even watch sports anymore because the real world is so much more interesting. And the epicness of what Dr. Andrew Wakefield has gone through, the original doctor exposing this back when I remember because I read the news every day and I was on the air back then. You couldn't open up any website, any newspaper without this horrible demon over here. And, of course, he's all been proven right, and the problem's gotten two or three times worse since he first exposed it. And now you see the cavalry here, and you see all these good things happening. And I see some Trump supporters bitching, saying enough's not happening. The media doesn't track all the stuff Kennedy's done. I mean, they just said don't give kids the hepatitis shot, it's not recommended. That means the liability protection is taken away. They've cut the funding for all this new mRNA. And sure, there's new problems, and he goes away for vacation, and the staff mutinies, and they're trying to impeach him. But the point is, compared to where we were 25 years ago when this guy, or 30 years ago, started exposing it, we are from like horse and buggy to Elon Musk, Starship, going to Mars. I mean, it's just exponential. And I think you're right that they're on the wrong side of history. There's no way they turn this around now. I just don't see how they do it. But you got caught up on the break talking about the project you want to make. Start over about remembering the victims of this. That's so important.
Yeah, the problem is this, that for those children who've already been permanently injured by these vaccines, what do we do? Because they're going to be left on the battlefield when all the dust is cleared, and the greatest fear for their parents is what happens when I become infirm or die and there is no one left to care for my child. And I want to tell that story in a film. And here's a story for you, Alex. You'll like this one. I was at a conference once. I'd given a lecture, and I was taken out for dinner that evening by one of the organizers, a mother who had a severely affected child, just one child, that's all she had, estranged from her husband. And during dinner, she asked me if I would father a child for her. Now, you may think, well, what a really odd thing to ask Dr. Wakefield, and what an even stranger thing to tell people on my show. But I was absolutely struck and inspired by her sincerity. What she wanted, Alex, was not sex with me. What she wanted was a healthy, unvaccinated baby who could grow up and care for her vaccine-damaged child.
Wow.
That's the sincerity of this mother's request. She was prepared to take rejection or anything. She was prepared to put everything on the line. Her love for her child was so great that was her request. And it was inspirational. I was so moved when I realized her motive. And I thought, I've got to tell this story. This deserves to be told. This is the story.
Well, I know a lot of parents that have disabled children, and that is their constant fear is not being there for them.
That's right. Polly Tommy said it the other day when she was in front of Ron Johnson in the hearing. So what happens to my son when I'm dead, when my husband's dead? What happens? Because the system is not geared up to look after them. And so I took this theme and I wrote the script back in 2012. And now the time has come to make that movie. The other movies, the vaccine movies, right away. This one is set on the Yukon Trail, the cowboy film. It's a Western. There's a great love, a resurgence of Western at the moment. And this film is going to be made. And so it's really about a mother's instinct, a mother's love, the lengths she'll prepared to go to protect her child. And it starts with a wagon train of Norwegian emigres going across America, going west on the Yukon Trail, attacked by an Arapaho raiding party, killed to a man and a woman, except two people, a mother and her vaccine and her autistic son. And it's about a story of survival in some of the harshest environments in the world, of the cold and the disease and the Indian attacks and the indifference and everything she has to go through to protect this boy. And so that's the story that I want to make. So if there's anyone out there who wants to get involved as an investor, not a donation, as an investor in helping make this new movie, we'd love to talk to you. Please get in touch with us at info@wakefieldmediagroup.com.
WakefieldMediaGroup.com on the email there. Now let's get to one of your last films I haven't seen yet. I've seen four of the six. This is infertility. And this is well documented. The UN adds a particular hormone that hits a woman the second trimester, causes basically a miscarriage, also kills a lot of the women. You're the doctor. I remember reading the articles about it. I guess they had some of the Catholic priests and others in these countries went and got it tested, found out what was happening. They had to admit it. Let's play the trailer for the film that people can find and see right now at WakefieldMediaGroup.com. The film's called Infertility.
Infertility.
A diabolical agenda. Here it is.
Humans across the globe are becoming increasingly less fertile. The worldwide fertility rate dropped by nearly 60%.
What's happening here?
Infertility is one of the major problems in gynecology in Africa.
Currently, we have a tetanus campaign. We are targeting girls, basically the childbearing age.
The Catholic Doctors Association was able to collect samples during the vaccination exercise.
They did not expect that these samples would actually be tested. Somebody actually had something big to hide.
The lab that they purported to have tested the vaccine has actually confirmed to me that no such a thing ever happened.
No laboratory ever tested the vaccine.
That is not correct.
Which leads us to a disturbing turn of events.
If you do not stop World Health Organization, when they are through with Africa, they're coming for you.
I am not saying that if you take these vaccines, it will cause infertility, but I will say that none of the manufacturers should give you any assurances whatsoever that it won't.
Wow, that's powerful. Notice I hadn't seen the trailer or seen the film, but I kind of mentioned what it is because it's a well-known documented story. They've been caught red-handed so many times. And we have all these studies going back to the 70s, right through now, the UN studying infertility vaccines.
Yeah, and Gates was involved in this. This was largely funded by the Gates Foundation to reduce population size. But it violated so many rules of informed consent, of permission. I mean, it's absolutely extraordinary. And of course, it was something that was meted out on the most vulnerable populations in the world. People in East Africa, for example, people in South America, people who had no idea what was going on and no say in what was happening to their bodies.
And I forget the studies, but I've read them. You made a film, you probably remember them, but I remember, like, if they could do other infertility things that were more humane, though it's horrible, talk about crime against humanity, violation of Nuremberg Code, you name it, but the way it makes a woman the second trimester have a miscarriage in those conditions, didn't it cause a high rate of death in the women as well?
There were a lot of problems with it. And in some women, they were rendered permanently infertile. So it wasn't just a temporary measure. It was an extraordinary thing. They were quite brazen about it. That was the other thing, is that they published papers talking about infertility vaccines. Uh-huh. Of course, the details of the trials and the lack of informed consent, they didn't share with us.
Wow. So your next film is on the victims, remembering them. But what's the current new one coming out?
The current new one out, working title, The Honey Hunter's Daughter, is a film made about a tragic situation in Thailand. Beautiful young lady gets the COVID shot against all the rules, without any informed consent. And I won't spoil the film.
Well, that was another thing.
A true story.
Even in the U.S., but as far away as Australia, they were giving kids in middle school, elementary, and high school shots without parental consent during COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. It broke all the rules. All the rules. They were swept under the carpet, and there's going to be a big reaction against them.
What is the UN and Tedros going to do? They're trying to pass their UN treaty, but it's not worked in most places, so they're kind of getting copies passed nationally, but not officially in the treaty. What's going on with that whole agenda?
I don't know, Alex. You know far more than I do about that. It's not something I've been following closely. I've been working on the next...
Well, they want total control over everything with vaccine passports. It's bad.
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. If you haven't had it done and you can't prove it, you don't get this, you don't get that, you don't get this benefit. And, of course, the people who are going to suffer most are the people who need whatever benefit is, whether it's Social Security, whether it's something for their children's education. They're not going to get it. Therefore, they're going to comply, because if they don't comply, then they're going to be excluded.
Well, you're the surgeon, the research scientist. But, I mean, I do know learned immunity and you know, all this is obviously something real, but there's always side effects. Is this a good science that's just been hijacked, or is it so discredited it never matters anyways because of trust? What happens to it now? Because we now know they've changed the definition of vaccine from giving you, you know, a damaged version of a virus or a bacteria, so your body learns how to recognize it and defeat it. They've now changed it to basically anything they want to put in your body, and these whole new classes of things. What's going to come now of this?
Well, it comes down to the fact that it's actually all guesswork. They've lived with the delusion that these vaccines are safe and effective based upon studies they believed to have been done that weren't done, that were never done. The data weren't there, but it became a self-perpetuating mantra, safe and effective, safe and effective, and anyone who questioned that was irresponsible. Well, people are questioning it. There's no going back, and the truth will emerge.
Well, here's a microcosm example. I haven't read the study in a decade, but I had scientists on at the time when I was first on there like 31 years ago. But they Searle in the 70s couldn't get, this is a chemical we're talking about now, a biologically produced chemical. They couldn't get aspartame approved. And, of course, you know, it was a biological, the first genetically engineered biological creatures to eat the inside of oil tanks out. You know, they have bacteria that will do that, a bunch of companies now. But they found the excretion of the bacteria or their feces was this highly addictive, toxic, you know, breakdown basically of wood alcohol and with some other things to it. But then Rumsfeld comes in, takes over Searle, has Monsanto get it, and they get Reagan to sign off in the early 80s on aspartame, saying it was safe. But then when the studies they used was rhesus monkeys putting it in the milk, but they just took out, I think it was like 47% died like right away. They took out all the monkeys that died and then only put in the study the monkeys lived. And then now here we are these decades later knowing it's just devastating. So it's not just the shots, it's just all over the place.
Let me read you this, Alex, which goes to that. And this is about the effects of, in monkeys of the polio vaccine. But this is something, this is a government document by the head of the FDA in the Federal Register, and this goes to neurological injury with the polio vaccine, but it pertains to all vaccines. It reflects their attitude to vaccines in general. Let me read you this. Any possible doubts, whether or not well-founded, about the safety of the vaccine cannot be allowed to exist. Cannot be allowed to exist. In view of the need to assure that the vaccine will continue to be used to the maximum extent consistent with the nation's public health objectives. In other words, it doesn't matter how good the science is questioning the vaccine safety, it doesn't matter how many children are injured or how seriously they're injured, it cannot be allowed to exist because it doesn't, it's not consistent with the government's vaccine objectives.
That's by the way, we're live right now, Dr. Wakefield, but I want to put this statement up front when I post this on X and Rumble with millions of viewers later. I want you to start over, look at the camera, and reread the quote from the federal government saying it's a national security issue. You will cover up the truth, literally giving the outcome up front before they even do an investigation. I mean, this is damning. Take your time. Where does this come from? It's in McCullough's new study, but the links to the federal government's own statement. You talk about damning. This is cult. This is Jim Jones. Drink the cyanide Kool-Aid.
This is an independent document, not part of that McCullough study, but from the Federal Register, 1984, in relation to neurological injury from the polio vaccine. But it really reflects the government's attitude.
Well, this is huge. I'm going to do this up front. I'm going to put this up front. Good. I thought it was the same study. Start over. Where did this come from? What are they saying? Start over. This is so huge.
This is from Mark Novich, acting commissioner, acting head of the FDA, the Federal Register, Volume 49, 107, Friday, June the 1st, 1984, in relation to neurological injury following the polio vaccine. But it is something that can be extrapolated across the board to a government view of all vaccination policy. It says, quote, any possible doubts, whether or not well-founded, about the safety of the vaccine cannot be allowed to exist. This is the matrix, Alex. This is the matrix. It cannot be allowed to exist in view of the need to assure that the vaccine will continue to be used to the maximum extent consistent with the nation's public health objectives. In other words, it doesn't matter how good the science is. It doesn't matter how strong the evidence is. If it goes against public health objectives, it doesn't matter how many children are damaged or how seriously they're damaged, the science cannot be allowed to exist. That is extraordinary, and that is what we've been up against for all these years.
And they're so arrogant, they admit it. And even before they crucified you, a few years later, I remember even ABC News, back when it would do its job a little bit, in 2001, had gotten minutes leaked to it from a CDC meeting with the heads of the CDC and all of them together, talking about their grandkids getting brain damaged and the epidemic of autism, and they knew what was doing it. But they decided, we're going to take it out and make it safe now, but we got to cover this up, or it'll damage the greater good we're doing. And then I remember about 10 years ago, one morning by myself, I'm hiking, They call it the Hill of Life in Austin. It's like a three-quarter mile hill. I've seen Lance Armstrong out there many times running up and down the hill. But I remember I'd done it three or four times. I get to the top, and this distinguished-looking man comes over. He says, Alex, we know you're not a bad guy. I'm the head of the state health department science research division, and we know the shots are hurting a lot of people, but you have to understand the greater good is it's saving more. And even then I had my smartphone, and I went and put his name into my car, and it was him. So here's the head of, the head state scientist telling me we know it hurts a bunch of people, but the hurt is less than the reward, which we now know isn't true, but it was that same attitude, and he literally told me that on the hike and bike trail.
That's the arrogance of these people. They've been working. It's such a delusion. They're such a delusion that the greater truth excludes the lesser. I think Adolf Hitler wrote that in Mein Kampf.
In Justified Means.
The greater truth excludes the lesser. And this is their belief. It doesn't matter how many kids get hurt or how seriously they get hurt. Our policy prevails.
And they just absolve themselves.
Yeah, they're not going to get compensated. We're going to make it as difficult as we can for them to get any compensation. We're going to destroy their family lives. It's going to cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars to look after their affected child. And we're going to put the burden of proof on the parents in vaccine court so that the parents have to prove that the vaccine caused
the
problem.
And then sue and silence and censor anybody that tells the truth.
Absolutely.
But that's just their cover. Oh, well, I remember saying to him, I said, so what's your proof it's not causing way more problems? Because even then I said, we've got like 1 in 50,000 to 1 in whatever it was. He just said, oh, Alex, you just don't know the numbers. And I'm like, actually, I interview scientists all day long. I do. Like, we're not living as long. We're not, even all this great science, it keeps us alive, but we're not as healthy as we were.
Yeah, if anyone knows the numbers, it's Alex Jones. He doesn't know the numbers. And they don't know the numbers because the system has been set up to obfuscate the numbers. Only 1% of true adverse reactions reported to the vaccine injury system in this country.
Well, I know this. I can look at photos of when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s and old film reels and stuff, black kids, white kids, it didn't matter. And you look at the pictures of the adults, everybody, they look so much healthier, so much better. I go to a movie. I've got an 8-year-old. I've got four children. Three of them are grown up. But I take my daughter to movies some. And, I mean, it's scary how many autistic kids are in there. It's scary how sick the kids look. I mean, you can look at it. It doesn't look good. Just as a normal person looking at it, this doesn't look good.
No, it's a terrifying situation.
As Kennedy points out, we're the most unhealthy country in the world.
Yeah, and we've got to hope that we're in a position to do something effective about it to prevent this tidal wave before, as you say, it swamps the entire population and it's too late because so many people are injured. That's got to happen.
Well, all I've got to say is, Trump's not perfect, and I criticize him when needs to be done. But with Gabbard and Kennedy and the anti-war stuff, I mean, alone, this is night and day in my view. And, here we go. Michigan Dem rep files impeachment articles against RFK Jr., accuses him of abandoning science and endangering Americans. They've had rebellions inside the facilities. They sign documents when he leaves. I mean, we need to be praying for Kennedy because he's really proven he's the real deal, not just in his decades of work, but now in the crucible, and I know people that work with him, he works 18 hours a day. And he's flying around the country and coach. I see his schedule. I don't know how he does it at his age. I mean, this is God-given hero right here.
He's an extraordinary character. I know him well. We've known each other for a long time. And all credit to him for what he's doing. Given the legacy of his family, the risk he's taking, but he's out there. And he knows he's making enemies, but he's doing the right thing.
Well, he said he's ready to die for greater cause.
Well, that just says it all. We need to respect those people.
Well, people always say the devil's greatest trick was he doesn't exist. I don't agree with that. The greatest trick is that good people don't exist. There are good men and women.
There are. And in the end, they will prevail. Unfortunately, things are happening very, very fast right now. We need to keep that going, and this show will help that happen.
Well, I would never say they broke you, but I remember meeting you before and having you on quite a bit, and then you were here like 15 years ago or something, and you just moved to Austin, and you were putting on a good front. You did it good on air, but I could tell you were drained, and it seemed like you were just making yourself stand up and just doing the right thing. But then the other times I met you, the next few years, you got stronger and stronger and stronger. It feels like your spirit's stronger than ever now.
Well, people like you were listening, Alex. That made a big difference.
Well, the only reason I've experienced it myself, when it's so bad, you just have to keep going. But then when I see us really starting to get traction, does it not feel, not a thing of pride, but more of like completion or satisfaction? I mean, you know what I mean? Like that feeling of I did the right thing and God's real and this is turning around?
Yeah, you know, and we talked about this before, but there was a point where things were really low, really bad. Everything had fallen apart. Everything, every title had been taken away. The income had gone. And I looked around and I thought, you know what? Stop feeling sorry for yourself. This child has no voice. He's lost his voice. He can't fight for himself. He needs an advocate. This family need an advocate. You're fit. You're healthy. Get on with it. Get over yourself. And it was very liberating. And I got back into it, back into the fight in a big way. I never left the fight, but I got back into it with a renewed enthusiasm and got over the fact that, you know, the universe doesn't really care too much about Andy Wakefield as an individual. There's a whole lot more important things going on out there. So just go.
Well, I think in the universe, God understands the long game. And so, but I've been in the same position. It's just that I would get not depressed, but sad that I know all this. It's so obvious. Why aren't more people joining me? Well, we're ahead of the curve. So I would get more lonely and more sad. Like not so much feel sorry for myself, but like a sadness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the tragedy for me was just witnessing such extraordinary damage that I knew was completely avoidable. And that was very, very difficult. But the only way to do it is to deal with it, is to take it on head on and do whatever you can to rectify the situation.
Well, I've had four children in hospital. And if you do a few more minutes in the next hour with us, you got to go. And I'll tell the story when we come back. But it's you know, had the first child, but the second child, you know, nice hospital, daughter's a listener, everything's great. But with my first child, he had low blood sugar, whatever, so they wanted to put him in the NICU, whatever. I go back there, and I start talking to the nurses, and they go, oh, we're all listeners. But by the way, I later saw this in the news, separate nurses, other places in the country. They said, when we give the preemies the shots, we bring in the defibrillators and stuff, because a lot of times they die. And I'm sitting there with them all telling me, oh, you're smart not to take the shots. Because I'd had the same nurses in there trying to pressure me an hour before. Now they're like, oh, actually, we know. We wouldn't do it. We give them the shots and the kids, you know, we have to defibrillate them. And I remember hearing that. And then years later, it was in the news. Nurses blew the whistle. They have to have defibrillators when they do it. I mean, so like they follow the order of the bioethics board. Then the kid goes into cardiac arrest. They got to give them a defibrillator. I mean, it's like, how obvious is this?
That's heartbreaking to hear that.
Have you seen those stories in the news?
I saw them years ago, yeah. Some of those. Yeah, they were.
But to me, this actually happened.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm like, 2 hours ago, you're trying to pressure me. She goes, I know, I'm doing my job, but you're right. We would never take it. And so it's like behind the curtain. It's like the Matrix. It's like,
what would you do with your own child? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Tragic.
They said, you need to get out of here now. We got to give this preemie shots. And they're like literally are rolling in the defibrillator. I mean, it's just like, we're going to hit this kid with a truck, see how they like it. We'll be right back in the next hour with Andrew Wakefield. Share those live feeds now. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionist on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue, possible neuroprotective effects, being studied, and traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc., may benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.